If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful story from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Cutforth, and special guest, the fifth Sci Guy, Noah Finns.
Hey!
This week, we're talking about Mary Jane and Wacky Backy. But first, we have a very special YouTube comment. This one says, now we need to see a high episode about the science of weeds.
Oh, that's God. A really good idea.
And Noah Finns commented saying, only if I'm invited.
Whoa, I don't remember that.
Look, you manifested it. Well done.
That's true. I manifested it.
Before we get into the episode, though, I do have a question for both of you. Wow, this is hard. So before we get into the episode, I do have a question for both of you and a question for everyone who's watching and listening. And if you're listening, here's what you do. You fly to another country. I don't know, maybe the Netherlands. And what you do is take it over. I'm sure it won't be hard. They're a very agreeable people. And once you are the king or queen or monarch of the Netherlands, just, I don't know, that'll probably make news. Just answer the question then. The question is, have you ever tried weed?
I don't even know what that is.
Weed?
What?
Weed.
In the garden?
Like, you ever seen those dandelions, I think? They're beautiful, but yeah. I think they're considered weeds, which I feel is unjust.
Fun to blow, though.
Fun to blow, yes, exactly. I've done weed legally, in a legal setting.
Yeah, There is no way to make it sound less like you've done weed in a legal setting than say what you have just said. And the annoying thing is, I know that you're not lying, but you're making it sound.
I've toured America several times, and there are places in America where they not only say, "Oh, it's okay," they say, "Do it."
Very true. Very true.
Very carefully worded.
And look, you got a cat high once, did you not?
Yeah. In a country where it's legal to get cats high. Yeah, I smoked some weed once with my cat in an attic. I didn't know she was there.
How did the cat hold the doobie?
Sorry.
Wrap her tail around it.
Let me clear. I did the thing in an attic once. Sorry, that sounds really weird.
I did the legal thing.
So you shamed Dawson to cat in an attic.
I smoked weed in an attic. And then my cat was in that attic. And I didn't know she was there. And then suddenly I just saw her eyes.
That's exactly what Shane Dawson said about the cat as well.
No. What did her eyes look like? Like she was stoned.
They looked like cat's eyes in the dark. What do you mean?
You said it. You said you saw her eyes. Oh, you didn't realize she was high.
That she was there. This is not the point. Move on.
So this is our fifth anniversary of Sci Guys. 5 years of Sci Guys. That's insane. Half a decade. The podcast is old enough to be in school now. That's a fun fact for you. So to commemorate this absolutely mental milestone, we're still here in Amsterdam, and we're doing an after-school special of sorts. You know what I mean? A kind of a very special episode. But a quick disclaimer before we hop into this very special episode, we can't stress enough that we are not intending to promote or endorse recreational marijuana use. We're recording this episode to demonstrate its effects in a controlled environment with supervision. We're also monitoring our vitals, like our heart rate and whatnot. All of us here at Sci Guys strongly encourage you to follow the local laws, and if you do partake, make sure it is both legal and safe for you to do so.
Yes, exactly. I'm not a Sci Guy, but I say true that.
So to start, can either of you answer me this question? What is weed?
Ooh, a plant. It's a flower. Weed is, it's for marijuana. Is what they say. When you say weed, oh my god. When you say weed, you mean cannabis or marijuana. And what cannabis does is it acts on the cannabinoid receptors in your brain.
Okay, well, don't go through the whole episode now. I just asked you what it is.
And I answered.
Too well, almost. Luke, do you want to add to that one?
Oh, no, I think Noah said it best when he said cannabis is for weed.
Yeah, that's right. Cannabis is for weed and potentially for other things too. But yes, you're right. It's a plant. The dried leaves and buds are usually ground up and smoked in a variety of ways, perhaps using a pipe, perhaps using something else. I can't think of literally anything.
Other paper.
Paper.
You roll it up in paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in paper. There's lots of ways of smoking a thing, and the active compound can also be extracted and put into food. Thanks to its psychoactive properties.
Sorry, what?
You can also put the active ingredient into food and eat it. Because of its psychoactive properties, people like it. It's used as an illegal drug worldwide. What fraction of drugs...
I'm going to use this as an illegal drug.
That was real good. Did you plan that?
What?
It's used as an illegal drug.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Hey guys, you want to go do some illegal drugs tonight?
So, what fraction of drug seizures worldwide do you think are cannabis?
Oh, God. Seizure? As in someone has a seizure from the drug, or
as
someone
seized,
steals their drug?
Taken. No, steals, but it's taken by the authorities.
Steals, sorry, right, taken, yeah. Is what I mean.
No, not steals.
But the authorities should not steal drugs that people have bought with their own money. Wait, no. That was a joke, but I was trying to play it up. Anyway.
Bought this heroin, so can you just not, please?
Actually belongs. Do you have the receipt? Maybe like 80%.
80%? Luke?
Yeah, I'm going to say like 65%.
Wow, okay, so it's 50%.
Hey.
Okay.
Which, you know, okay, so you were supposed to guess lower than that.
Oh.
So if we pretend that you did guess lower than that.
Okay.
It's about 50%.
Wow.
You fucking what?
No way.
That's across the world. It isn't just concentrated in a few countries that skew the data either. The World Health Organization mentions on their cannabis, the World Health Organization.
Who?
The World Health Organization.
Yeah, I get it.
Guys, I don't understand. You know who?
You know who? He's back.
So the World Health Organization says the geographical no, that was actually, they actually have that written down there. You're supposed to miss, yeah, geographical.
Right.
Yeah, twice. The geographical spread of those seizures is also global, covering practically every country of the world. So 2.5% of the world's population use cannabis, apparently. 147 million people. That doesn't sound right, but I'm sure the maths works out. That's the annual prevalence. And what do you think those percentages are for cocaine?
Oh, God.
Just to compare.
20%.
What?
What?
2.5% of the
world. Oh, sorry.
20% of the world use cocaine.
Yeah, like cocaine is just so much more popular. One in five people.
What is going on?
If you have a group of five people, one of them will be using cocaine.
Yeah. Well, in the entertainment industry.
It's five and five. Yeah,
it's probably five and five. Jeez. Four and five at least. Anyway, yeah, like 1%.
1%?
Yeah.
Okay, Noah?
Yeah. It's definitely
lower.
No. I think it's definitely lower than cocaine.
Well, no,
it's...
we're talking about cocaine.
It's lower than cannabis.
Lower
sorry, cannabis. Oh god, it's definitely lower than cannabis. Yeah, 0.5%.
Wow. So good. You've chosen the right wrong numbers this time. It's 0.2%.
Oh.
Which is really low. So yeah, it's really, really low, about 10 times. Lower.
Yeah.
And it's that's about the same for opiates. So 0.2% as well for opiates. So cannabis is very popular, as I hope you can understand.
All the rage I hear.
Yeah, exactly. And in the US, right, I've got some numbers here for you from the US. 2021, 35.4% of young adults aged 18 to 25.
Wow.
Yeah, that's 11.8 million people. They reported using marijuana in the past year.
In the past year?
Yeah, so in 2021, so 35% of young adults aged 18 to 25 used marijuana at least once that year.
Wow. I wonder what that rate was like 10 years Like when was it legalized? Not obviously it's not legalized federally, but like when was it legalized in some states?
I've got that information later.
Okay, so, I won't spoil.
Yeah, and I don't want to scroll down the page and lose where I am. So we'll just do this in the order that I have it written down. No deviations.
Leave you on that cliffhanger.
This is like going through It's a Small World at Disneyland. Okay, you don't get to see the countries when you choose. It's any ride. I don't know why I chose
that. System.
I don't know the answer to your question, Noah. Mm-hmm. But according to the Monitoring the Future survey, I do know the answer to your question. It was the next bullet point. They've remained relatively steady since the late 1990s. The rates of past year marijuana use among middle and high school students. So from the 90s,
middle and high school.
Middle school and
middle school is a wow.
Yeah, the rates of its usage have been consistent among them since the late 90s. I'm not telling you what the numbers
are consistently. Though.
No, I don't
know.
No.
I know that's not what you're saying.
I'm not saying it's a high number. It could be zero.
Middle school is consistently since 2021. They've just been since legalization. Anyway.
So according to the Monitoring the Future survey, rates of past year marijuana use among middle and high school students have remained relatively steady since the late 1990s. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what those numbers are, unfortunately, but I do know that they've remained consistent. So whatever they are, they've not changed much. So those are the numbers on the usage of weed. It's very common across the world. It's common amongst young people, all of that stuff. I've got some more questions for you, unfortunately, maybe. Caravans?
Caravans? Karens?
Cannabis, marijuana, hash.
Hash.
Heesh.
Cannabis, marijuana, hash, and hemp. What is the difference? So we use these terms interchangeably, usually, right? I mean, you guys have done a bit of that already, but they technically refer to different things. Hashish and hemp are not necessarily the same thing as cannabis and marijuana, which, you know, we've been, as I said, using interchangeably up until this point.
Is cannabis not marijuana?
Hold on. That's exactly what this section is about.
I love that. Anytime I'm like, wait, I want to know the answer.
Oh, no, wait, you're not like, I know people who like watch TV and then they're constantly asking out loud the question they're meant to be asking
that's
in their
me.
Head. And there's a great tweet about this that's just like, me, my mum, 2 seconds after a TV show begins. Who's that?
Honestly,
it's because I miss so much context because I zone out. I'm like, oh, what if I just ask and then I don't need to work?
That's a different thing. I'm talking about where people are like the writer of this show is making you try. Is trying to get you to have these questions.
Yeah.
Like, who is that? How did they meet? Ooh, what's their past? But you're asking it with your outside.
Oh no, I also do that.
No, he just asks all questions. Yeah,
I'm curious and I like knowledge.
He just doesn't have very much of it. Anyway, that felt mean.
It was mean.
So cannabis, does anyone know what cannabis is? Like the sort of strict definition of cannabis.
Is it the plant? Is that the cannabis plant?
Yeah. So cannabis is a plant. It's a genus of plants. It's in the family Cannabaceae. Cannabaceae?
Cannabis. Oh, cannabis. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So the family Cannabaceae, that's what it's in. As I said, cannabis is a genus of plants.
Sorry, I'm just picturing like an Italian family. Like a mob. Like the Cannabaceae family.
Yeah. But it's just a bunch of plants.
So cannabis is a genus of plants. Yeah, we won't even think about what family it's in. Yeah. It usually refers to the species Cannabis sativa when you say cannabis, but it can also include the species Cannabis indica and Cannabis ruderalis. Now, there's apparently some debate on whether these are all different species or kind of the same thing, whether they're different enough from each other to be sort of different species, but that's the basics of it, right? Cannabis is a plant. When you're talking about cannabis, you are literally referring to the plant. Marijuana, now that is the drug, that's the leaves and flowers of the plant, right? And that's of Mexican origin, the name, I'm pretty sure, marijuana comes from Mexico. And so, again, that is weed, strictly marijuana weed. Hashish, does anyone know what hashish might be?
Is it the oil?
Yes. Do you know where, like, what do you know? What do you think, Noah?
I thought it was the grinded up and like made into like a block, like a. It's been like, sorry, it's the plant that's been processed in a specific way that is can be smoked.
Yes. So it's a resin that's kind of taken from the female flowering parts of the plant, like it's kind of oil. It's resin. That's what that
took
is. You're
from
both
the female parts,
right? Huh?
It took it from the pussy. You're saying you take a hashish from the can of pussy.
So plants can have male and female parts?
I know they can, which is why I'm annoyed that that came out of my mouth, but it was funny and I couldn't not.
And so hashish is the unpollinated female plant, right? And so the hashish also refers to, as I said, the concentrated resin. It's also known as hash and hemp. Does anyone know what hemp is?
No. Wait, it's another plant.
It's
another
like grind it up. It's like... I don't know. I said that
so you guys are going to kick yourselves. It's also cannabis sativa. It's got some THC, usually much lower than the ones that you would use as a drug. It's used for food or for fiber. I literally have, it literally says 100% hemp. This fiber that I bought with you, Luke, that has been on the table this entire time.
Wait, so you're saying that's just sativa?
No, this is this. Yeah, well, no.
But
I don't.
No, sorry. Can they be? Can indica be that?
He's asking if he can smoke the wool.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just saying, is hemp specifically just sativa?
So I think so. I mean, I think so. I've found different things in different places. When it comes to the plants, people are more interested in talking about its drug usage. You know, more so than like the sort of biology of the plants. So it's actually, I think it's just sativa that's used to make hemp, but it could be the other sort of species or sort of types as well, right? Okay. Essentially, what you're wanting to do is breed it for like different qualities, you know, compared to if you're breeding it for drugs. You want it to have the sort of tough, fibrous nature. You want it to have less THC, all of that sort of thing, right? I don't really know. The different species aren't all that different from each other, to be perfectly honest with you, as far as what I've seen. And so, you can make fibers from it like these. You could make food from it from the seeds. And why don't we talk about how it's illegal to have cannabis things?
Even hemp?
Well,
I was going to say, I was like, because I've seen hemp.
Growing hemp.
I thought you were saying that it was illegal.
This is a fiber. This can't be illegal, right?
Yeah.
Really. Like, I mean, it can be, but it's unlikely to be. It would be weird for it to be illegal. This is a fiber. You're unlikely to get high from smoking this.
Unlikely, but...
I don't think it's really possible. If I'm honest with you, Noah, I don't think it's possible to get high from smoking this fiber that I'm holding. Okay. I mean, it's like a really rough thing as well. Like, feel it. It's like rough string.
Oh, wow. But it feels really durable as well.
It is very durable. Yeah. It's a very good product.
Yeah. And we're sponsored today by hemp string.
It's not... I don't like it.
You've spent the longest of the three of us touching.
I'm trying to figure it out. I don't like it. I don't trust it.
I don't like this thing. Why don't I like this thing?
It's just a horrible texture.
It's so horrible.
It's very
dry.
It's very dry.
Yeah, it's very dry. I don't know if that's a good... I don't even know if this is hemp, to be honest. Like, they could just be lying.
Well, it says 100% it is.
So, yeah.
It says 100%
handmade. How could that possibly be wrong, then? That wouldn't make sense. Why would they lie?
Why would they lie?
Why lie? You said hemp, it's not hemp. What's wrong with you?
People can't do that.
So let's talk about the legality of cannabis. So there are only a few countries where it's completely legalized recreationally. This is from Wikipedia because, look, where else am I going to be getting a list of countries where it's legal to do something, right? Wikipedia is good for things like this, I think. And if it's not, then look it up yourselves. It's not that difficult. Uruguay, Georgia, South Africa, Canada, Mexico, Malta, Thailand, Luxembourg. It's all legal there for recreational use, but that doesn't mean that its sale is
it's decriminalized.
Yeah, so it could be decriminalized, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you're allowed to sell it. But you could be allowed to grow it, for example, or to possess it. It's like there's lots of different ways for that to sort of present, right? Yeah. But like using it, having it, isn't necessarily illegal, right? In those places, it's not illegal to use it. In sort of Luxembourg, Malta, Mexico, Georgia, and South Africa, there's no authorized license sales, right? So like sales, like this is just from Wikipedia, right? But it's not super legal. It's pretty illegal everywhere. There are some places where it's kind of legal. So in the Netherlands, consumption and sale are tolerated in licensed coffee shops. Possession of up to 5 grams is decriminalized. Cultivation of up to 5 plants is unenforced for non-commercial use unless grown in a professional setup, apparently, right? And there's different things. People come to Amsterdam because you can get legal weed here. You know, like you can go into coffee shops and smoke in there, eat in there, or whatever, right? In the United Kingdom, it is illegal, but It says a cannabis warning or an on-the-spot fine may be issued for simple possession instead of prosecution, right? If the police catch you with weed, they might let you go, or they might
Sorry, on-the-spot fine sounds like a bully trying to take your lunch money.
Yeah, that's what the police are.
They see you with weed, they're like, all right, well, so give me the weed and also give me your money. They get the weed and the money immediately.
Wow.
Anyway, it's illegal in the UK, but the medicines can be legal, right? So cannabis derived medicines, if they're prescribed, right? So you can still get medical cannabis.
Yeah, I don't think it's not even derived anymore. I think you can get it on prescription, like cannabis plants. On
prescription. Yeah. So it's cannabis.
You can be prescribed something to smoke legally.
I was literally like a box of weed. The NHS.
I was on a writing retreat with someone who had medical like weed, and they literally just ground it up and smoked it.
But would they not? I would have just thought, because like smoking anything isn't good for you, it would only be like oil, like edible stuff that you could like ingest. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that would give you literal things to smoke.
That would make sense, but...
Your GP going to give you a grinder and some paper.
They're doing it in a healthcare sense, right? Imagine you're somebody who has been smoking weed illegally to cope with a health condition for years. Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, oh, well, now we can give you cannabis-derived products. But that thing you've enjoyed for this entire time when we've had this thing illegal that would help you, we're not going to give you it in the form that you want it. Because it's politically complicated. We're going to give you it as an oil, and now you have to change your habit, and then you might just not do it, and you might keep buying illegal weed.
Yeah.
And we don't want that outcome.
Oh, I just find it interesting. I just like being prescribed something to smoke.
I think it's just because it's an easy and accepted way of doing it.
As quick as
possible. It's if you think about it, what the NHS need to put in to getting people that, they just need to provide the weed itself.
Given instructions for how to grind it up. From your doctor.
This is my medical grade grinder.
That's wild.
It's mad, right? It's mad. Yeah, but when I say cannabis derived medicines, that yes, you can get weed, but I mean cannabis is legal medically, right? You're allowed to use it as prescribed medicine in the UK. So in the US it's illegal federally, but 24 states, 3 territories, and the District of Columbia have all legalized it, which means you can usually buy it in those states from licensed dispensaries. Selling it on the street is usually still illegal. I think it's illegal everywhere, to be honest, in the US, to my knowledge. I don't really know. You can buy it in sort of dispensaries and things like that. And again, there are still further restrictions, right? In some places, I don't even know the specifics there, but in some places, you'd only be allowed to use it or have it open at all in a home or in a place of residence. Mm. You can't have it in public. So it's public use is still sort of not allowed, right? So as you can kind of see, it's illegal most places, and even the places where it is legal, it's maybe only kind of legal. Like, there are ways of getting weed legally in a good few countries, but they're all, a lot of the times, they're dependent on using it in a specific place, or it's for medical use or something like that. Mm. Yeah,
I've seen people using THC cream for chronic pain.
Mm.
I've seen a few documentaries on it where they rub it on a dodgy joint, and within a few minutes it's completely pain free.
Really?
Yeah,
that's insane. Yeah, I mean, it does have medical uses, right? I think there's a lot of difficulty, right? And I didn't really look this up for this episode because it's kind of history. It's not related to really what we're going to be talking about. But I have heard a few different times that in the US, one of the big pushes to make marijuana, weed, illegal was because of hemp. It was an easy way to get rid of hemp, which was apparently a really good replacement for something else, as in it's versatile to be used kind of as food. It can be used to make textiles and stuff like that, right? So someone...
It was about corn, the corn. Someone, big corn. Well, we're trying to sell more corn.
Yeah, it was basically, I think, to my knowledge, right, they kind of lobbied the government to make hemp illegal so that it wouldn't damage any other industries because it was very useful.
And so they could arrest people.
Well, no, now the cops use it to arrest black people, but that's a totally different story. Sure. That's because they ended slavery, okay? They got to keep it around somehow. Ring ling? Is that the ad bell?
I hope so. We don't have any other bells in this room.
Well, I'll tell you what we don't have in this room, Luke. We don't have people who have subscribed to SciGuys on YouTube and followed us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
I actually have done all those things.
I have too. But why don't we tell people about why specifically that is a very cool and interesting thing for them to do?
Well, we want to be everywhere with you all the time. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, we want to be there with you. If you're on Spotify, we want to be there with you. And if you're on YouTube, we want to be there with you. And you probably want us to be there with you too.
Even if you prefer to listen on Spotify and don't really watch us on YouTube all that much, it really helps if you subscribe on every single platform because it gets us in front of more people, which means it makes it easier to make this show, which you love, right? You love it. You love us, right?
Give me love. Validate my soul.
Subscribe to SciGuys on YouTube and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify right now.
Heal the deep, deep chasm in my heart.
Let's get back to the show.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The history of marijuana, right? When do you think our earliest known use of weed is? Us as a species.
Like 2000 BC.
2000 BC?
Before then.
Right.
So, well, I mean, yeah, in some cultures it's like entirely ingrained since, I don't know. 2000 BC, I have no idea the exact year. 1500 BC.
Okay, that's basically.
You versus me, let's go. Who's closer?
Over 10,000 years ago, right? So a quote here for you. Cannabis was attested to around 12,000 years ago near the Altai Mountains in Central Asia. And since then, cannabis seeds have accompanied the migration of nomadic peoples. I have to read this next quote because it's an absolute cracker of a quote, honestly. Near the Flaming Mountains, a popular tourist spot in the Xinjiang... Oh my God, I should have read... Oh no. The Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region of China, a middle-aged European-looking man was found with a large cache of cannabis. Further analysis revealed that the man had carried almost 800 grams of cultivated cannabis with a high delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol content. Contrary to a first impression, this is not a sensational news item about an adventurous tourist facing a prison sentence far away from home, but a scholarly archaeological report about the excavation of the grave of a 45-year-old male of high social status, probably a shaman, buried around 750 BC.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's from a paper on the history of cannabis and the endocannabinoid system. 750 BC, we found someone with 20 grams of weed preserved, right? It's, like, if you think, like, it's used that
think,
long.
Just think all, like, the old people nowadays being like, oh, they, well, maybe not nowadays, but, like, all these young people smoking all this weed, all this nonsense.
It's older than your civilization.
Yeah.
I just like the idea that they're, like, that person was, like, a stoner. And if they had got really high and they could possibly know that we'd be like hundreds of years in the future talking about them having a bunch of weed and dying somewhere.
Dude, that's a, like, conversation,
whoa, man.
That's a conversation that imagine all shamans of the past were actually just stoners. That's a conversation they would have. They'd be like, yo, dude, imagine in like 100,000 million years
some guy with a podcast,
people like look back on us and think we're like spiritual gods or something. Wouldn't that be crazy? But no, seriously, yeah, so it's very, 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 very long. Like, we have been using it as a species for a long time, and the weed from this story wasn't just picked wild, it was cultivated. I want to like stress that. They also found that the male parts had been removed, presumably because they're less potent than the female parts, and that would suggest that for millennia people have been intentionally growing cannabis for its psychoactive effects, right?
Sick.
Which it would have initially been used for food and fibers, probably. The plant fibers can be used to make ropes, netting. Like, this would be a pretty good rope, be pretty good netting, right? And you can also use the seeds to make oil, as I said earlier. And then, you know, someone heats it up and it start to get a bit woozy. And before folk realize the cause and starts, oh my God, someone, you know, heats it up and they get a bit woozy. And then it's not long until folk realize the cause of it and start growing that plant specifically to make them feel funny. right? Like, you can see... You could see how yes. that might...
Past people. Go past people. Have fun. That's amazing.
I would love to live in that sort of hunter-gatherer world. Like, the early world, obviously, yes. You know, like, you've got to try and survive. But every now and then, you come across something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow, this stuff is wild.
Yeah.
I love this stuff. Like, imagine, like, just being an ancient human and stumbling across, like, magic mushrooms or something. And you take a bite. And you're like, whoa, the entire world is different than I thought. I've seen God. You know,
like, and then you have to come back and you're just now just a gay person again.
But then you're like, cool, I'm gonna find more of these, like,
these, do you know, these, you know, God about mushrooms. The stoned ape theory?
I think you've mentioned it before.
Well, I don't know. It's this theory that, like,
oh wait, early... hold on, no, is this the Joe Rogan experience? Is that what that is?
No, what? No,
the stoned ape, right? That he's a
he is a stoned ape. No, the theory is that, like, apes were, like, just go, like, apes or, like, early humans were just, like, bopping around the world, and they weren't particularly, like, self-conscious, and then they ate this thing, this, like, mushroom, and that's what, like, awakened their next level of consciousness, like, their next level of understanding of the world.
Yeah.
And that's so that's the theory, is, like, that's where we get our modern way of thinking, is that these, basically, some early apes got absolutely wrecked on, like, mushrooms or weed or something.
So I've typed this in and I've looked on Wikipedia. Yeah. I love that.
Is it
idea.
Nonsense?
No, I love that idea.
But is it nonsense? When you say you love that idea in that way, you're saying it is nonsense.
That's so creative.
The stoned ape theory had been widely criticized by the greater scientific community. McKenna's theory was labeled as overly speculative by much of the academic community.
Yeah.
And misrepresenting the studies of psychopharmacologist Roland L. Fisher, whose research was frequently cited by McKenna as evidence for the purported effect of the mushrooms on early humans. Additionally, many pointed to groups such as the Aztecs or various Amazonian tribes whose usage of psychedelic substances does not reflect any of the evolutionary advantages that McKenna argued would emerge from using psilocybin-containing substances. To add on to prior criticisms, McKenna's claim that psilocybin intake would increase libido has been questioned, as well as the belief that an increased libido will entail an evolutionary advantage. I'm sorry.
Is this Terence McKenna?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Terence McKenna also believes that when you take certain other drugs, you, like, talk to some elves that live in a different dimension. So I can see why science doesn't love his theories.
Yeah.
Like, whether he's experiencing that or not, I don't think science is going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll just believe that. Sure.
Yeah. It's been largely rejected by the scientific community. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Well, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry for basically taking this into a conspiracy podcast.
Yeah, no, so I don't know if psychedelic mushrooms did cause humanity to have consciousness. That's a wonderful... So, yeah, it's a very creative idea.
No, just monkeys, Noah said. Just apes. Just apes, and that's why they're so much like us.
Oh, right. So but we didn't get it.
No, we didn't get it.
Just them.
Yeah.
But I was saying, right, like, imagine being an early human and just stumbling across, like, you know, stumbling across some rotting fruit and being like,
it's insane,
well, I'm
it?
Really hungry, I may as well try it. And, like, imagine being starving to death and then getting drunk and you're like, this is crazy. Bro, I'm having such a giggly good time.
It's basically,
and I'm feeling full. You know?
It's basically the experience people describe when they're like, I've been abducted by aliens. It's like they don't necessarily know why, but they've suddenly had an extreme, like, basically like a psychedelic experience, assuming they haven't been stolen, and assuming they're not lying, and assuming that they haven't been stolen by aliens, then they're having a sort of hallucinogenic experience of being stolen by aliens.
Yeah,
right? And that's just a normal thing that we accept for some reason. And I don't know where this point was going.
No, I get you, but, like, imagine, like, right now, if you stumbled across a fruit, like, you know, you were just out and you were like, oh, cool, this tree's growing fruit, I've never seen it bloom before. You're like, I'll give that a go. And you take a bite, and then suddenly you have a completely new experience of the, like, you've never had that before in your life, and you're like, what did that, right? You've got to figure out what in your day caused you to have that experience, and then try it again, right? Because, like,
I'd be paranoid to eat anything, because I'd probably forget that I ate whatever it was that I ate.
Why you're lucky you're not an early human, right? Yeah.
you're inferring the causality, right? You're inferring that, like, I had this experience, and so there must have been something I did which caused this experience.
Yeah.
Right. That's interesting that you can make, like, that you can make that connection. Because it's not automatic that you, like, every animal doesn't necessarily go back over their day and goes, oh, what did I do and what happened, and I'll learn from it.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. If you think that humans come across this, like, let's say, after agriculture, right?
Mm.
You know, to the point where it's like, oh, I found this thing, and I know that if I breed these two things, like, and I take the best ones of each, it'll get better and better and better, right? what's interesting to me is just the concept of, like, you know, stumbling across a thing and then being like, what did, of all the things I did yesterday, because usually, right, with all of these sorts of things, there is a delay, right? There's like some time before you start to feel their effect. So it's not like you can be like, yep, it was this one thing that happened directly afterwards. Mm. I just really like the idea of being an early human and just discovering, because I mean, sometimes, yeah, it's poison. Most times it's poison. Like 98% of the time, it's probably poison. But sometimes,
assuming you survive.
Yeah, if you survive the poison, sometimes it's a fun poison to survive. You know, like alcohol. That's a good time. No, but it's a very dangerous time, and alcohol abuse should not be joked about.
Okay.
So to bring it back to the history of cannabis, right? If you look at the names for cannabis, you find that they're pretty consistent across multiple Eurasian languages. So you've got hemp and hanfen in English and German, respectively. So those are similar, apparently, in their etymology to the Greek cannabis, the Latin cannabis, the Italian canapa, the
Russian,
and the Russian canopilicia. Do you know what? This is a quote, and I looked at it and I was like, yeah, this is going to be, you'd think, oh, Corey wasn't prepared. I was like, no, it's going to be really, really funny to put myself in a position of trying to read out these languages.
What is it spelled like?
K-O-N-O-P-L-J?
Konoplicha.
Yep. And then
that means it's simple, bitch, in Russian.
I have no idea how any of these languages are pronounced, but I'm sure you can understand that all of those words are pretty similar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's weird. Cannabis doesn't feel like an old word.
No, it doesn't.
But it's literally Latin. Wow. Like it's in the Latin, like cannabis. It's mad, right?
Was it for that plant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, just checking.
They're going to talk about something else.
They might have been like Latin for like cool time.
I get where you're coming from, though. No, I totally get it, because we do use Latin words for things. No, I'm fairly certain that word in Latin and ancient Greek is for that plant.
Thank you for clarifying. It's Latin for hell yeah.
So that would suggest that it emanated from sort of one point, right, a long time ago. The thing... and wasn't found all over by a bunch of different people, that it was taken from one place and spread across the world, and the name has remained fairly consistent. So that would across multiple languages, which would suggest they came from a similar sort of root, right?
Mm.
It's native to India, just north of the Himalayas. Maybe it's a herbaceous annual. Does either of you know what that means?
That's herbaceous, dude. That sounds like that. Like,
it does.
Flowers once a year?
Dies once a year.
Dies once a year? Oh.
Well, no, it dies at the end of its growing season, right?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, an annual die, yeah.
It's a faker.
Which, so, yeah, it dies once a year. Plot. Although, like, I suppose it, 1 year of your life, you do die once a year. You know,
yeah.
For one single year of your life, the average of dying once a year is true.
But the species itself doesn't do dying once a year most of the time. Like, the species does like dying once every, you know, 60, 70, 80 years. That's its game.
To tell you a little bit more about the plants themselves, they can grow from about 4 to 5.5 meters. The different types have different sort of ways of growing. Like, some of them are like sort of wider and shorter. Others are taller and leaner, I guess, for a plant. No, I don't mean between plants.
Every
I mean the
plant
different,
is different.
Sativas, indicas, and ruderalis, they all grow differently. The three different species of the plant.
Okay.
Not the...
it's okay to be different.
Yes, individual plants grow
some
differently.
Some are wide and short, and some are long and tall.
Wow.
That's okay.
That's just what the short ones tell themselves.
Yeah.
No, so the three different plants, obviously, they grow slightly differently. You should be able to tell, I think, from the plant what kind of species it is, I think, because, you know, they're generally broader if they're, I think, indica or ruderalis. I don't really know. It's not for me to know. I have no interest whatsoever, to be honest, right? Like, I shouldn't say that.
That's the best excuse when you don't know something on the podcast.
It's like, I don't care.
It's not for me to know. I don't care anyway.
I thought that was your job.
My job is never, and honestly, probably will never be about looking at a plant and determining which strain, which species of cannabis it is, you know?
Nah, you pay someone else to do that for him.
What plant is that? It's a good tip. There you go. You get yourself something nice. And they can grow up to 5.5 meters. They bloom at the end of summer to around the middle of autumn. And unless it were to grow inside, in which case, I don't know.
That's and illegal. It's not my job to know.
No, it's illegal.
And I don't care anyway.
I don't know because it's illegal. So I'm not supposed to know. I'm not allowed to know.
Good. Model citizen.
And well it's done. Not a cover for me just not bothering to look it up. It's because it's illegal and I don't want to spread that information. But just know that if you were to grow it inside, that's different from growing it outside, as with literally any plant. Usually they have male or female flowers, but some plants can have both flowers.
Wow.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Intersex.
Thank you for being an ally, Luke. So usually the male's flowers, they will go yellow, then die after they blossom, down with the patriarchy. Mm. And the female ones will stay green after blossoming, usually up to around a month once the seeds are ready to germinate.
Sick.
Yeah, so once the seeds are ready to like pop off and then they can germinate in the ground or whatever, that's when that happens to the female flowers. What happens? I'm not sure. I don't want to read the start of that sentence again. So I'm just going to move on. So my question for you both, how does weed work?
Well, you said this earlier a little bit, didn't you, Noah?
It binds to the cannabinoid receptors in your brain.
Cannabinoid.
I don't think
can you
it matters.
Put it on YouTube.
No.
Pronounce cannabinoid.
No, this is going on YouTube, so it's fine.
Hey, Alexa.
No. So, I think we've got a bit ahead of ourselves, right? Because that is very true. You're very right. But
I just answered the question.
Yeah, but I didn't plan for you to answer the question so well. So I'm going to go back to the beginning. You need to heat it at some point in order for it to work.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So you can smoke it. So when you inhale things and you... I want to just let you know that in my notes, it literally says, explain how inhaling things gets you high.
Go on. Oh, yeah, go on.
So here we go. When you inhale things, they go into your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Alveoli are parts of your lungs. And when you breathe in, your lungs will fill with, you know, whatever it is that you breathe in, whether it's an air or it's a liquid, some kind of fluid, right? And those hit your bloodstream by being near your blood, and then they pass through the membrane into your blood. And the way that it works is, you know, diffusion, high concentration to low concentration. So if the air, for example, that you're breathing has a higher concentration of oxygen than your blood, it will go, and then also there's red blood cells.
it'll
go into your bloods, and there's red blood cells that connect to it. We're getting away from ourselves here. Point is that if you breathe something in, it goes to your bloodstream pretty quick.
Cool.
It's one of the quickest ways to get something into your bloodstream. When it goes from your blood, it goes to your bloodstream, then it goes to your brain, and does what Noah said.
Binds to your cannabinoid receptors.
Cannabinoids.
You can also eat marijuana.
Oh,
so eating things gets you high.
No way.
It says in my notes, explain how eating things gets you high.
Round two. Off we go. This is like doing high school biology again.
I really dislike myself in the past. I sat there writing that so confident. I was like, this will be funny. I'll put that guy in a bind. I'll use him for comedy. I am him now. I'm not happy with it.
Excellently executed fast card.
So, it felt so devious.
So enzymes or something?
No, so basically you eat something, right? Yeah. It goes into your stomach, and then if you eat food, right? We've done episodes on digestion before, so you can go back to those ones. But when you eat food, it goes into your stomach, it breaks it down, and then it gets into your bloodstream. Ultimately, it's a similar thing where it passes through your intestines, enters your bloodstream. So when you eat something, when you eat sort of marijuana, let's say, that will get into your bloodstream through your digestive system, which is obviously a lot slower than breathing. Like imagine, for example, if it took as long to get, you know, breath into you as it took to get energy from eating something. You would suffocate very quickly, I think.
That would be difficult.
Yeah.
that would be a difficult situation. Yeah. No, really?
Imagine you're like, oh, I'll take a breath. You're like, okay, give me like an hour. Chill out. It's like, all right, okay, cool. See you in a bit.
I feel like it would give you a really long time to hold your breath, though. Because if you breathed in and it took 20 minutes to get into your system, you got 20 minutes before you need to breathe in again.
Yeah, like, yeah, I can breathe underwater for 30 seconds. It's like, cool, I can be in there for a while.
See, I'm thinking about it the other way around, wherein I can't hold my breath for 20 minutes. So yeah. if it takes me 20 minutes to breathe, I'm just going to... I'm dead, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That doesn't sound good.
Death. I
think that's kind of the point, right?
That's a really important stance.
I
think you should have. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
It was important.
Someone had to say it.
And I've just realized that below, I had explanations of both of those things.
No way.
I did. Yeah. So if you smoke it, I don't have an explanation of it. It's actually an explanation of vaporizers. So you can also use a vaporizer, right? If you smoke something, right, you heat it up, and it, you also get smoke into your system, which... That's bad for you, generally. You probably don't want to be smoking. The only thing you should be smoking is air.
And these meats.
And hops.
I love both of your answers.
I really hope people know what that means.
I know exactly what that means. Vaporizers can heat cannabis to vaporize its active ingredients without burning it, which is a bit safer than smoking, apparently, right? And then when you eat something, it enters the stomach and the blood absorbs it there. The blood then carries it to the liver and then to the rest of the body. The stomach absorbs it more slowly than the lungs, obviously. And if you eat marijuana, your THC levels will be lower, but the effects will last much longer.
Mm.
Right. So if smoking is sort of quick, it's like higher and then it peaks quicker and it goes quicker. But with eating it, it's just a sort of slower curve. Some people also drink it in tea, but that can dilute the THC that you're able to absorb. And then usually the effects will wear off after an hour or two, but the chemicals can stay in your body for a lot longer. So the half-life of THC can range from 20 hours to 10 days, depending on the amount and potency of marijuana used. Yeah, so do you know what a half-life?
Sorry, do that again.
You can just say yes.
Sorry, I just had a scratch. Okay. And I thought you were resetting. Do it again.
You can just do your yes.
Yes. yes, I know what a half-life is.
Great.
I think. It's how long it takes for the drug to lose 50% of its effects or like strength in your body. Like your body is...
So in this case,
process 50% of it.
Yeah, so if we're talking about we're not necessarily talking about the effects of THC, we're talking about just the THC present in your body. But yeah, that's absolutely right. The half-life is how long it takes for the sort of amount or value of something to decrease by half, right? So the half-life of THC being 20 hours to 10 days means that after sort of 20 hours, if you have one THC in your body, that's the measurement. One THC, it will then be 0.5 THC. Then after 2 hours, how much THC will it be?
0.25 THC.
Very good. I don't know why I looked at you for the math question, Noah. I'm sorry for that. That was very cruel.
It could have been anything. It could have been any number. And how do you think I'm supposed to know?
Just pick one out of all of the numbers.
I'm scared of maths. I was gonna say not 0.25, but I was like, I don't trust myself. I should get a calculator.
You should back yourself.
I should back myself
and get a calculator.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So after 2 hours, it'll only have gone down to about a quarter of what it was initially. Right. And so the numbers that I've got in my notes that I've stolen from somewhere else, don't remember where. Look in the references. It's not that important. It's just some maths. 1 milligram of THC that has a half life of 20 hours, you'll still have 0.031 milligrams of THC more than 4 days later. Yeah, so it stays in your body for quite a long time, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're high for that entire time, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You don't feel the effects for that entire time. You're not going to be super high for days and days and days and days until it's gone from your body.
I got high and I couldn't add for like 2 days. it was a bad decision. And like for 2 days, I'd be like, I remember specifically, I was in like a shop and I was looking at two things, adding up how much they would cost, and I was like, why is it not happening? Usually I just ask it to do it and it does it. Why is it not doing it?
The weed took my math.
Yeah. It was so annoying.
You lived a life as Noah for 2 days.
Yeah.
How did it feel to have his struggles?
I know what that was like.
Yeah. Sounds quite terrible.
Yeah, so we've spoken a lot about THC, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's the one of the two that makes you real high.
CBD is the one that doesn't get you high. THC is the one that does get you high. It stands for...
Tetracannabinoids.
No, so it stands for tetrahydrocannabinol. Yeah, a delta 9 tetrahydrocannabinol would be what you would normally use. You can get delta 8. That's also used in some places. I think it's...
North Carolina.
I think it's legal. There are a few other states. And from what I've been told, it's similar, but its effects are slightly different. You can get delta different numbers. That just refers to a sort of group on it being slightly different, right? A group on the sort of molecule being slightly different. They're the same thing, slightly different things have slightly different effects.
Different number.
The thing is, it gets to points on this podcast where I'm like, I could like make sure that I've got it in my head enough to just explain this in such a way that I can add all of the background. Yeah. But I have to add the background of why the differences make sense. But ultimately, I know that what people are going to remember and actually think about is these different numbers mean it's different and it feels different.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Just enjoy your blissful ignorance. It's fine. It's good. It's fun. No, so the different numbers mean they're slightly different molecules. It doesn't matter how. Delta 8 is probably a second to Delta 9, which is your sort of standard THC, the one that people use when they get high normally, yes. Right? So yeah, that's Delta 9 THC. That was first determined in 1964, and that's the one that we're particularly interested in when we talk about cannabinoids. But there are over 100 cannabinoids in cannabis. It's cannabinoid, by the way.
Is that what you were saying?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, because do you know what? I couldn't tell you in the moment because the two of them sounded too similar. But I've decided cannabinoids felt natural. I'm going with it.
Okay.
So let's talk about why THC actually makes you high. So the neurons have receptors for neurotransmitters.
Transmitters.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I thought it was my tinnitus, but it turns out it's the ad bell.
What is he ringing for this week, Luke?
Well, today the show is being sponsored and supported, as always, actually, by our Patreon.
What? A Patreon? Is that where people can go and pay for trees on something?
That is not what it is. Maybe we'll do that as a perk one day. But for now, the Patreon is a place where people can go, people who love this show, like you, for example, can go and support the show existing. It's very complicated and expensive to make this show, and our patrons help it to exist. So we think you are very lovely for doing that.
Yeah, if you've ever noticed anyone's name scrolling through at the end of a Sci Guys episode, that's because they're our patrons, and we want to thank our patrons for helping us make this show. So to do that, we give them a whole bunch of things. Perks like bonus episodes and a different show and other things. What else do we give them, Luke?
They get to submit topic ideas for the show for Corey to consider, and then also those topic ideas go into a vote that is voted on every month by our patrons only. So they basically get to control us once a month.
So if you really love Sci Guys and you're not content with just sitting back and watching us natter on, you want to have a hand in the show, you want to be a part of it, go ahead and sign up to our Patreon, because you can be a part of this show.
Shall we get on with that show?
We shall. So neurons have receptors for neurotransmitters. Cannabinoid receptors are activated by anandamide. Let's just call it anandamide. A-N-A-N-D-A-M-I-D-E. Anandamide.
And what does it do?
Stuff.
Okay. Cool.
Do I actually know?
I'm just fascinated to know what the... Because we have... What's so interesting about, like, cannabis, for example, is that we have receptors that bind to it. Like, that's a thing that happens naturally. And obviously, the plant is originally natural. And so I'm fascinated what that receptor normally does.
So we could probably tell sort of what this neurotransmitter does based on looking at how cannabinoids affect people, right? Because neurotransmitters don't work in... a way that is, I guess, super intuitive, in the sense that there's not a neurotransmitter for one specific thing. It does different things in different parts of the body, different regions of the brain, right? So it can be sort of used in a bunch of different things, right? So if you talk about dopamine isn't just for one sort of thing. It's not just a chemical that makes you feel good when you do stuff. It does other things as well, right? So in this case, if we look at THC and what that does, it affects four main regions of the brain, the hippocampus, the cerebellum, and the basal ganglia. It's just three places in the brain. One of them doesn't... I made it up.
Yeah.
The basal ganglia, you made that up. It sounds made up. I didn't quite believe you, but now you're admitting it. I know.
I mean, everything's made up.
It does sound made up. What happened there is I looked and I saw four words and. But two of the words were the same word, basal and ganglia. Yeah. So it affects three parts, the hippocampus, cerebellum, and the basal ganglia. So the hippocampus is in the temporal lobe. It's important for what?
Memory.
Yeah, short-term memory. So when THC binds that, what do you think happens?
Oh, you just can't remember anything.
Well, short-term
use. Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, exactly, right? So it doesn't impact your long-term memory. You're not like, what is my name and where do I come from?
Right.
You're like, what is happening?
Right, yeah, now? I've had a few experiences where I'll start speaking and forget the first half of the sentence. I'll be like, yeah, so the point that I was trying to make is, what was I saying is how I go.
But I get you though, because it's like losing the start of a sentence. It makes you feel like I need to do really quick sentences. I can't do quick sentences. I have too many thoughts.
Yeah.
I must put them all into one long sentence that goes a lot of places.
Yeah.
I can't remember like the past three stops on the journey.
You do that in all contests. Contexts.
What? Yeah,
You do that in all contests. Oh my god, I still
you do that in
all contexts. So I can imagine like trying to get to the point. It's like, okay, wait, I can't even remember the first part you said.
No, so yeah, short-term memory, sort of, yeah, like you're saying, Noah, you lose the start of a sentence by the time you get to the end.
Yeah.
You know, you can. That's why you can be sort of forgetful and like maybe even, I guess, paranoid. If you can't remember what's going on, right? That will interfere with your recollection of recent events. The cerebellum controls what? Anyone? Well, lots of things, actually. So that's too difficult. Coordination is what I want to talk about.
Okay.
But yeah, so THC impacts that. It makes maybe you feel a bit floaty, a bit woo-woo-y. I don't know, man.
I wonder what that's like.
Who knows?
Well, I'm open for new experiences.
The basal ganglia, that will direct unconscious muscle movement. So that's why motor...
Sorry, it's just the basal ganglia.
So that's why motor coordination is affected, yeah. So.
I thought you were going to do it again.
There's also CBD. Either you know anything about CBD.
Well, it's the CBD one that makes you not, like, less... of some of those bad effects. So like it makes you less paranoid, makes you more calm, more like just nice body feelings, and takes away some of the kind of like, for want of a better word, like psychotic edge to THC on its own.
Yeah, basically, yeah. People could, like CBD is legal, right? THC is the one that gets you high. CBD won't get you sort of high.
Chill you out.
Yeah, it'll chill you out. It has the relaxing effect. So you can get that basically anywhere, right, in the UK. For sure. You can get it in like Tesco's and stuff, right? It's very, very expensive. Ridiculously expensive.
Very expensive.
Stupid expensive. Like for a tiny bottle, it's like 20 quid. It's obscene. Anyway, not the point. CBD, legal, doesn't get you high. THC gets you high by affecting regions of your brain that use a specific neurotransmitter. So if we talk about the effects and the risks of marijuana, what are the sort of acute effects? What happens when you use it? You know, one time, or when you're high, basically, what are the effects of being high?
Get giggly.
Giggly? Yeah, yeah, the gigs, yeah, the giggles. Yeah,
that's I'd imagine sound. Like your sort of blood pressure rises.
Yeah, your heart rate will rise. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And your eyes dilate.
Yeah, 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 as well. Anything else but your eyes?
Ooh, they go red.
Bloodshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can get red. They can get dry, basically. Same with your mouth can go dry, and this is all because you know the neurotransmitter that is the sort of receptors that are being affected by the cannabinoids. They control those sorts of things, and so it kind of makes you feel different, or makes things feel drier, or makes things drier, right?
But it doesn't literally use up the water in your body, does it?
No, it just slows down your production of saliva.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it basically slows down the production of those things, so you feel like, you know.
That's interesting. So you don't actually get dehydrated, you just feel dehydrated.
Some people get the munchies.
The munchies,
they
yes.
They get the hungries. They think, ooh, I'd like a bite.
Yeah, and that's the same thing as well. Like, again, these sort of receptors control hunger. It makes you feel like, ooh, could... some yummy food right now. It also makes food taste. It's not so much hunger as I think it's drive for food, right? So there's things that sort of like motivate you towards food, and I think that's what's affected rather than things that sort of modulate or modify all words that could be used here. Hunger. So you could also have distorted perception, difficulty with thinking and problem solving, loss of coordination, increased heart rate, anxiety, paranoia, panic attacks, and also memory, right? So during use, it can impact your memory, and you can also have worse memory about things that happened whilst you were using it, right?
Yeah.
So if you're high, you might struggle to remember what happened afterwards.
Yes, yeah, so you're not writing stuff down because you're high.
Basically, yeah. And attention as well. It's harder to focus on more than one thing or on much at all, right? So, I mean, I think what I read is that it basically makes it difficult to split your focus. So you can focus on one thing, but you can't really focus on more than one thing, if that makes sense. You also shouldn't be driving or operating any heavy machinery or anything like that, because your motor coordination is messed up. Your reactions, look at that, yeah, it keeps on happening. Your reactions, you know, and your short-term memory. You like, oh yeah, I forgot that I was driving for a second, and so I crashed
into an old lady. Yeah.
The worst thing to crash into.
It's those kind of like single moments where you like lose attention. Like you can do that in normal, like non-weedy way. Like you get like micro naps if you're too tired. Like you'll fall asleep for like half a second, and then you could have crashed in that time.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of like that, but with lapse of attention as opposed to lapse of like consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And a quote here from How Stuff Works: marijuana users often describe the experience of smoking the drug as initially relaxing and mellow, creating a feeling of haziness and lightheadedness. Although those feelings may differ depending on the particular strain, the user's eyes may dilate, causing colors to appear more intense, and other senses may be enhanced. Later, the user may have feelings of paranoia and panic.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I think one of the things about weed that makes it scary is that, in my experience, it's quite an unpredictable drug. Like, you don't necessarily know that you're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is like the biggest warning I think I would want to give to people, is that it's not something where you will definitely have a good time. So you need to be aware of that fact.
Mm.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think I'd want to point out, I feel that alcohol is actually kind of really similar in that regard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you can get really upset and like... Yeah, not nice.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting, this sort of, because they kind of get played up against each other often, right? You know, they're similar when weed is legalized, it's treated pretty similarly to alcohol, right? There are places that you're allowed, specific places that you're allowed to buy it.
Yeah.
There's specific places that you're allowed to use it. I mean, in the US, weed and alcohol are really, really similar, right? Like, you can't buy, you can't buy weed just anywhere, and some places you can't buy sort of like booze over the counter, right? And you can't drink in public, you can't smoke in public in some places. And I feel like, you know, the effects of weed, yes, as a general thing, like it can be quite scary. It's not necessarily 100% great, right? But if we compare it to the other drugs that we have legalized, it seems about on par with most of them.
Yeah.
And in some ways, probably preferable. And that's by no means diminishing. No. Like, as in, the effects of weed versus the effects of alcohol are probably preferable, right?
Yes.
People on marijuana don't tend to get violent. Yeah. That's a thing. All I mean is that, like, when we talk about legality and stuff, it's really interesting to me that we don't view it amongst, like, sort of likes. You know what I mean? We don't view weed in comparison to alcohol or the effects of weed in comparison to the effects of worse things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel that the thing I would want people to be aware of, if they've never done this, is that when you drink a lot of alcohol, then you are putting yourself at physical risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can hurt yourself, you can vomit.
Mm.
And I don't think that this would necessarily mean that we should discount weed as a legalization thing, because I think that it has beneficial effects and other things that we think are fine don't necessarily have those beneficial effects, right? But a bad time with weed can emotionally scar you, like, in the same way that you can physically be hurt by being drunk.
Yeah,
you can emotionally and mentally scar yourself with a bad trip of weed.
Yeah,
and I think that's something, when we're going, oh well, look, alcohol's got all these bad social effects and weed hasn't got them. It's like, well, yes, that's true, and that's important to say, but it's also important to say that weed could have bad social effects as well, like on yourself. You can hurt yourself emotionally, is what we're getting.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. I'm not trying to say here at all that, you know, weed is totally good, or, you know, it's got no negative effects. Absolutely does have negative effects. We're going to get into those and the risks in a bit. But all I'm trying to point out is that there's a lot of stigma around this, and I just kind of want people to understand it in sort of in relation to the other things that we do have sort of legalized.
I think it's the same with like any substance.
Yeah.
If you've never done it before, even if you have, like, you need to be aware that like you may not know what's going to happen. So just be in a comfortable environment with people that you trust.
Set and setting.
Yeah, set and setting is like the most important thing that determines how your experience is.
If it's legal and safe.
Well, and even and if we're it's not encouraging, and
we're not and we're not encouraging its use either.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you two tell me about the effects of chronic marijuana use?
Constantly hungry. Maybe you'd gain weight.
Yeah,
I don't know. Probably memory
honestly,
loss.
Yeah, potential weight gain.
Memory loss. You could. I mean, some people can get schizophrenia if they like if they're prone to it.
Yeah, I don't know if that was ever proven. I thought it was like the idea was we didn't know whether schizophrenia led to weed led to schizophrenia or whether like people who are prone to schizophrenia seek out weed as like a coping mechanism or they're just interested in.
Oh, I thought it was just that. Oh, fair enough.
I thought if it's
like in your like. If you're prone to those kind of things, mental health-wise, that weed may make it worse.
That's what I mean. Is that I think that that is what we say and that is what we think may be the case. But it all and we say that as a warning to say generally that people, the government thinks people shouldn't do weed. But if you have a history of schizophrenia, you really should think very, very strongly about whether you're going to do it. But that might be that we. That's what we observe. But it could be that what we observe is actually the opposite, which is that people who are going to develop schizophrenia, start smoking weed.
Oh.
I don't know if we know the difference between those two things.
Yeah,
ultimately, I think the takeaway from this is that we've got reason to believe that cannabis use can lead to schizophrenia in the sort of earlier onset of it, that in those who are already sort of at risk for it, right? And yeah, look, as you're saying, it could be sort of the wrong cause and effect, like the wrong way around, but ultimately, the sort of advice would remain the same, that if you've got history of it, it's probably best to avoid it, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, no, like there are, because the long-term effects can be not great, like as you're saying, like Noah, like that, they can trigger that, and it could also, you know, potentially cause like weight gain, it could cause memory loss, all of these sorts of things, right? And not that like weight gain is necessarily a bad thing, but like if you're eating unhealthily,
if you've got the munchies,
sedentary,
you've got the cravings like, that won't be stopped unless you have like 3 whole bags of Doritos.
Yeah, like eating unhealthy junk food all the time. Yeah, it's not probably great for your health, right? Yeah. That's the main thing there.
It's also like smoking.
Yeah, so if you're smoking, then the effects of that obviously as well. It's not great for your lungs. But selective impairment of cognitive functioning, which include the organization and integration of complex information involving various mechanisms of attention and memory processes. Basically, your memory is not going to be necessarily as good. You might be a bit more sort of sluggish. You're just not necessarily going to be as sharp as you could be.
And
right?
Also like chronic marijuana usage, if you're having it like every night, that means like you'll wake up maybe not feeling high, but your body is still processing it, so it would still have an effect.
Absolutely, yeah. It can increase your anxiety as well. This is the weird thing. It's sort of a double-edged sword in that it can decrease anxiety. Like CBD can decrease sort of feelings of anxiety and stuff, right? So marijuana use can decrease anxiety in the short term, but also in the long term, it can also increase anxiety. And then also in the short term, it can increase anxiety as well, right? So it's not like, again, don't think of it as a sort of cure for anxiety outright. It can help. It can definitely be used to sort of maybe help. CBD, can definitely be used in that way. And so you could understand someone saying, yep, marijuana, good for anxiety, right?
It
but
also
ultimately
affects
it's more
different
complex
people differently.
Yeah, that's
like
the,
some
yeah.
people can get like really paranoid if they smoke, and some people will be like, wow, I just feel really chill.
Also, don't do it when you're pregnant, obviously. Same for like any
don't want a baby
drugs.
To come out a stoner. embarrassing.
Basically, if you smoke while you're pregnant, it can lead to the baby developing really rare cancers after being born, but more research is needed, right?
Yeah.
But interestingly as well, it's been used in sort of in treatment of cancer, marijuana. One, I think for the when you're going through chemotherapy, the pain and all of that, it's actually it can be really quite good to deal with that. But I think they were also doing research into seeing how marijuana actually affected cancer growth.
Yeah, it slows it down. That's the research.
I'm not sure where we are on that, but there's been sort of some research into that, right? So
it makes them all high. Cancer's I could just chill out though.
I watched
Why am I growing?
Just loses all its ambition, you know?
Yeah.
I watched this, it was like a Vice documentary or something, so I don't know how like blah 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 it is. But it was something about like giving kids cannabis. Like there are a few kids where they found that like THC in like very, very, very high concentrations is better at like not like curing cancer or whatever. but like slowing the cell growth. But yeah, obviously more research needed, but it was just like the high concentration, I think, was the interesting part to me, because they were just giving kids like real big gummies.
So you're like making, like the kids are going on a trip.
Yeah.
And then that's slowing their cancer down.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would work if you could like also like make them go to sleep at the same time.
Yeah.
If, because it doesn't need to do the brain stuff. It could just do the body stuff and you can be out cold, because I imagine it would not be very nice to have an extremely high THC trip. And then even worse if you're a child.
Yeah.
So if you could do that asleep whilst it does the body stuff to you, that would probably be good.
Yes.
It could be the different cannabinoids as well, right? It's not necessarily the THC that's... And I want to make that clear. The THC is the one that really gets you high, right? And it could be other cannabinoids that are having these other positive effects, right? So those are the effects of chronic use of marijuana. But now let's get on to the more serious risks. I ask you this. Can it kill you?
No.
No.
No?
Well, being high doesn't kill you. You can take as much THC. Oh my God, wait. Let me say that again.
Take as much THC? Are you thinking of a TX2?
Yeah, no. You can't have like a weed overdose. Like you can have like a cocaine overdose. So it doesn't kill you in that
respect. Are you telling me that I'm not allowed to have a... I'm allowed to have one.
No,
but
you're banned.
But like, obviously, like if you smoke, you have an increased risk of cancer, but you can't like directly die from smoking weed.
Or you can like do something silly and die.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not the... cannabis killing you.
Yeah. And that's soaking alcohol. So.
Yeah. No. So that's pretty much right, as far as I'm aware. Right. You know, the THC in your body isn't itself going to necessarily cause you harm to the point of dying. Right. An overdose of it isn't going to kill you on its own. The smoking aspect of it, yeah, but remember as well, like there are ways of not smoking. You can just ingest it, right? You can just
eat it,
and so you don't need to worry about the risks there. So when you look at this study that I've got that looked from 1998 to 2011, deaths in England wherein cannabis was detected post-mortem, they say from 1998 to 2011, on average, 7% of all cases reported to NPSAD, don't worry about what that is, it's really not important, this is just a quote, had a cannabinoid detected, rising to 18% in 2020. So 7% up to 18% over the course of 9 years. So what that means is that if you look at all of the deaths from 1998 to 2011, wherein they found cannabis in the body post-mortem, what you'll find is that most of those deaths were due to a drug overdose. But crucially, a different drug, not the weed, right?
Yeah.
Not marijuana. So it's like, is it really implicated in those deaths, or is it, you know, people who are high drug users die of overdoses and they also use marijuana because they use multiple drugs, right?
Yeah.
Like that itself doesn't necessarily indicate that it's a dangerous thing. The sort of the injury, that is something to look at, right? If they've died because of an accident, because they were intoxicated, that's something to look at there.
Yeah.
But I think crucially what you need to understand is that you're not going to die from having a THC overdose on its own, in the sense that, you know, you could die from alcohol poisoning, right? It's not going to work in that way.
Yeah, it is crazy that like the drug that can't kill you is illegal, and alcohol, which has caused many deaths, is just out there.
And smoking.
And smoking.
Yeah, alcohol's smoking out there and smoking? Damn. It must look really cool.
Yeah. I had this one experience in a legal place where I was expecting to be given 10 milligrams of THC, and I was given 100 milligrams.
That's a lot more.
That's a lot more. And although I didn't die, I did feel like I was going to die a little bit. I was texting. And I was like, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? And they're like, eventually. And I'm like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I'm going to die. It wasn't well. It was that. But I'd close my eyes. And all I would see is like green triangles. And I'd sit up. And it felt like I was upside down.
How old were you when this happened?
Oh, last year.
Oh, okay.
It was, I should. So yeah, there's a tip. Read the label of how many milligrams there are.
Was it your fault or was it someone else's fault?
It was both my fault and somebody else's fault. we were given like a bag that said... We were given a bag, and usually when you're given a single edible, it's like either 10 milligrams or 20 milligrams in America.
Yeah.
Like, it's that's how much it usually is. We weren't expecting to be given a bag with 1,000 milligrams.
Sure.
And only
sure.
when we
oh, like 1,000 milligrams total.
1,000 milligrams total. I was just like, no, that's insane. We took it and we were like, oh well, like it's fine. Like,
and so you took, so there was 1,000 milligrams total and like 10 things in the bag, and you took yeah. one of them, thinking, oh
yeah.
god.
I mean, yeah, to be fair,
easily that's done.
A,
like,
a stupid way of dividing things up.
Well, no,
dividing
exactly.
these brownies up by in 10 dose chunks.
So, okay, it, so it's like having a normal size.
It was like a rainbow strip, you know, like a rainbow
right.
belt. It was that,
so you
and
meant
I was
to
like,
snap off
no, so you're
no,
supposed
I
to like bite off. So you're supposed to bite off like 1/10 of it.
Apparently, but that's like giving somebody a cake and being like, only have a nibble.
Was
it's
it?
Like, if you're selling me to this, if you're selling this to me, was like, it? Why would I have to divide up a rainbow belt? Like, yeah, well,
was it like
it's
perforated?
My fault, but
was it like perforated, like segmented? Like, you're it makes
no.
it easier to. Oh, so you're just supposed to like eyeball it?
Yeah, you're just supposed to eyeball it.
No, you're
which I think is not good at it anyway. But like, yeah, I did that. It was my fault. I should have read the packet properly. But I assumed, you know, they're not gonna give me this crazy strong edible.
You didn't have any long term, like you couldn't add up maths for 2 days.
Not long term. I was
add up maths. No. He's had that his entire life. Maybe that's where it started.
You're still high.
I was high for over a day. I slept for real long. I felt real groggy. But then I felt after then I was just felt normal.
That's nice.
It was just a really unpleasant experience.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, that I think that's a good sort of warning to people to actually pay attention and be responsible.
And even if you, like, the thing that got me was, like, this was in a shop. Like, it was sold legally to me.
Mm.
And the guy didn't say anything. I was like, hey, do you have any gummies? He was like, yeah.
I
there
think that's,
go.
So if you think
no
about
warning.
It, this is the equivalent of, you know, going into a shop and buying what you think is like a Blue Wicked, you know, like an Alco Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's got the same strength as like, you know, a vodka. Yeah. So you drink an entire bottle of, you drink a liter of vodka.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh wow, I'm being sick.
Yeah.
I'm dying.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That was my 15th birthday party. No way, you were there? I don't think we knew each other back then.
Yeah, but I assume Noah did this with friends around. Whereas your 15th birthday party was...
Hey, I was with friends. That's rude.
Ouch.
You think my 15th birthday party was spent drinking a liter of vodka on my own and then being sick? What do you think of me?
It's much funnier and
it's
much sadder.
It's much funnier to imagine it like that.
Oh yeah, I had such a good time with my friends in reality.
Just
like,
softly
yeah.
singing, happy birthday to me.
Oh God, right. So why don't we move on from this really cheerful, you know, topic to abuse of cannabis.
Oh yeah.
Right, so this is not treating cannabis poorly. I mean, it actually is treating cannabis poorly. It's using it in a way that is not good for you. So, you know, it's because its use has grown, the abuse of it has also grown.
Yeah.
In the sort of past decade, and the issue is, right, if you use it, if you sort of abuse it, it's all of those long-term effects that we spoke about there. So I want to be clear, you can't get like sort of chemically addicted. Like, there's no sort of specific way that THC marijuana is addictive in your brain, but you can get addicted to it in the same way that you could get addicted to sort of anything that makes you feel good, right?
And I also I also feel like if people are like smoking weed to like distract themselves from their problems, it's like self-medicating in the same way.
Absolutely, so true. And so I don't want to like a lot of people will say, hey, weed is actually not addictive. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you... The stoner is a thing. People who smoke every single day, that is a common thing.
Yeah.
It's a common trope.
It's not addictive scientifically, chemically. It's addictive sort of...
Mentally.
How we would colloquially use the word addictive.
Yeah. Like,
it's just a behavior that you keep doing and you would find hard to stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, it's the behavior more so than it's a physical craving.
It's not like you have to wean yourself off it like you do alcohol, otherwise you'll die. Like,
We have seen some withdrawal effects, but then I think you can get withdrawal effects from like
everything,
like from lots of things. Yeah, like a habit, like you don't like it doesn't feel good to quit almost any habit, right? Like, I mean, think about people who bite their nails, right? There is literally a thing that you can buy to put on your nails to make them taste bad to stop you from biting your nails because people physically are unable to stop themselves from doing it, right? Like, that doesn't mean that in your brain there's some like there's something where it's like, ah, yes, biting your nails is really chemically addictive because you know what I mean? Like,
there's like a real like irresponsible thing I think with a lot of people that like are really into like weed culture where they're like, oh, it's not addictive. Like, sure, not chemically. in every other way. Yeah. in every other sense it is. So like, yeah.
Be cautious of anything that makes you feel good with very little sort of input from yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like people like feeling yeah. good.
It's, I think
it's very fun to feel good. And so obviously if you want to take the sort of easy way to feel good, it's going to be very easy to just keep on doing that thing.
Yeah. I think it's also difficult because like with weed, you don't get like hangovers in the same way that you do with alcohol.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
you can like comfortably do it like very often and yeah. not experience terrible side effects.
Yeah. And it can be a lot more covert as well. Like, I mean, yeah. if you think about if you were to take sort of an edible, right? Like that can look like anything that is edible, right? Like actually... there was a paper that it's linked below, but it's about children accidentally eating edibles. Yeah. I mean, and again, right, like it's not good. Like, it's not good for a developing brain to be flooded with those sort of cannabinoids, get high from THC.
Yeah.
But also it's not necessarily going to be as harmful as if a kid, you know, had alcohol.
Had a whole bottle of vodka.
Yeah. So like, thankfully it's like safer in that sense where it's like, good, they'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, no, like that's the other thing there where it's like it can be so discreet, covert, right? If you wanted to have edibles, you could just have edibles and no one would necessarily know. Hmm. You could if you were addicted to this thing, you could genuinely use it discreetly, like all the time. Mm-hmm. Especially like the vapes and stuff we were talking about earlier, right? Like you could just vape it and people would think you were vaping a normal vape, right? Like it's not addictive, right? In the way that maybe alcohol or cocaine or whatever are addictive, right? It's probably addictive in a different way, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be very, very cautious and conscious of it, because it is so easy to get addicted to it. It's so easy, just not in the same way. But yeah, so we've done that. What are the benefits? Any idea of any of the benefits of it?
Pain relief.
Yeah.
Well, reduction of anxiety sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Does it have any good effects on your body long term? Does it like make you, well, it might slow down cancer. So if you had cancer developing, it might slow that down.
We have some evidence to show that it can slow the growth of cancer. Yeah. It's, it can be an anticonvulsant, an appetite stimulant. Yeah. But there are studies on it, and there are sort of, from those studies, we've got kind of evidence that it can work as those things. But yeah, I mean, generally it's sort of therapeutic benefits. You know, it's thought about in cancer a lot. Yes, because of the slowing the growth, but mostly I think because of the sort of, chemotherapy, because it can also be treatment for chronic pain, glaucoma, all of these sorts
MS
of things,
as well,
right?
Isn't it?
Sorry,
MS. I think it's used for.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, and the different things there, but you find like a sort of unifying thing amongst many is pain. It's a really good sort of not even painkiller, but it's really good for managing chronic pain.
Is it Parkinson's where you like shake a lot?
Yeah,
yeah, because I've seen quite a few people like use it for Parkinson's because it like slows them down and they don't quite, you know, shake as much.
So yeah, I mean, that may be so. There's not enough evidence to really say one way or the other, apparently. But yeah, potentially, right? And I think the difficulty is that it is illegal in so many places that like it really puts a kind of hamper on how much we're studying this.
Yeah.
And what I find really interesting is that whenever you read studies on this, it's shown that it has a lot of really good effects.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. We've been doing this for ages, you know, for a long, long time.
Yeah,
I mean, one would hope that it has a number of benefits beyond just making you have a silly fun good time, right? Like, do you know
what
I mean?
The government must have a reason though, right? To keep the weed from the people.
Are you saying it could be two-pronged. One, government don't want people to be able to have silly fun good time because people need to
work.
You know, work to be able to afford silly fun good time. And also because they need some way to keep slavery a thing. That's
it. The prison system.
Yeah, prison system. Yeah, 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 yeah. Black people and white people in America, same usage of cannabis. Black people twice as likely to be arrested for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, do you know what I mean? It's it's interesting if you look into sort of drugs that are, I want to say outlawed. I can't remember the actual word. Illegal, right? the thing is that like a lot of it comes back to not this thing necessarily being like inherently dangerous for society, but it instead like having some like other like some other reason, like social stigma, war on drugs, or to affect this specific group. Okay, yeah, we'll really target these drugs because it's got higher use amongst these groups of people that we really want to crack down on. Thank you, Reagan. there's another element of business, like I was mentioning earlier, like the sort of hemp, right? The idea that hemp was really targeted because, like, why aren't we making things out of hemp? There are maybe reasons. I didn't look into it enough because, honestly, people are not interested in hemp. But
what is your thing about hemp?
I just think it's neat. But the point is that, like, instead of looking at illegal drugs and being like, this is bad because it's illegal, look at the effects of those things and really sort of dig into what, why they're illegal, because I think that's far better for understanding the risks around these things than just saying anything that's illegal is blanket bad and anything that's legal is blanket good, because legal drugs can knock your socks off and ruin your life and just as much as illegal ones.
Oh my god, there was a period when I was about 16 where people were...
You had your period at 16?
I was late.
That's quite late.
Late bloomer. There was a period where I was at school and people were smoking like these legal highs.
Oh god, yeah.
And they were just basically like research chemicals that were sprayed onto like some leaf. Like it wasn't a natural thing at all. It was just a chemical formulated in a lab, sprayed on a leaf. And I had one of these once, and it was honestly one of the worst moments of my life. I thought I was like going to be in an asylum for my entire life and that I would never be sane again. It was so horrible.
Do you have any idea like what it was, or it was just like a...
Oh God, it was... Oh. Yeah, it's like right on the tip of my tongue what it was called. But no, I can't.
It wasn't spice, no?
It was something like spice.
Yeah, so spice is an artificial THC. It's so dangerous. Yeah. It can be so much more potent. It can have much worse effects. And it can be sold, on, like, basically sprayed onto a leaf so that it mimics, cannabis, right? And I think the issue is that when you start introducing these sort of chemical, like sort of man-made chemical highs, the sort of legal highs, they are really unpredictable, right? And so you get to a point of like, well, is it maybe not better to have a safe way of doing this? Like, for example, right, if people are having to brew their own moonshine and accidentally killing themselves because they did the distillation wrong, right? Like, you'd be like, maybe we should just start selling alcohol, like regulating its sale. There are some things that's like regulated sale of is probably not a good idea. You know, you probably don't want to have regulated sale of heroin. I'd imagine that's probably not great.
I think you would for people who are addicted to heroin.
Well, people who want heroin are obviously going to want regulated sale of heroin.
No. I'm saying it's safer to give them regulated heroin.
Oh, right. I thought you were saying that people
than giving them street heroin that might have fentanyl and kill them.
So what I'm... Sorry. I thought you were saying that people who use heroin are going to want heroin. I'm
give it to them.
That's the point of being a heroin
it.
Addict. Yeah, that's
the whole point. Standing in the way of free market.
If I know one thing about heroin addicts, it's that they enjoy heroin. I get where you're coming from. Yeah, and you're so right. I think the distinction I'm trying to make here is the regulated sale of something is not the same as saying, look, you're allowed to do this in a safe environment.
Oh,
right?
Decriminalization, yeah.
Yeah, so decriminalizing something. Yeah, like, sure, decriminalize drugs so that, like, people who are addicted, like, you know, can...
Don't get arrested. For doing the thing that their body tells them they need to do.
Or, like, you know, don't do it in unsafe conditions and, you know, die because of that. I mean, like, you know, HIV from needles is a major one. Giving someone a safe, clean, dry place to sort of, you know, use that kind of drug and clean needles, right, is probably going to be a net benefit because people are going to be doing the drugs anyway. It's this way we're just helping them not harm themselves and also getting them to a point of being able to come off of it if they want, rather than rather than just getting themselves into worse and worse situations. Because if you think about the environments you're going to get into when you're sort of when you're addicted to a drug and you need to hide that, like, probably unsafe environments where if you can just go to the local sort of like heroin
bank.
Room bank, here's some heroin, can you store that for a while? Okay, yes, I'd like to take out 3 heroin today. if you go to the local heroin room, then, you know, it's probably gonna be a bit better. The other thing I was gonna say, kind of got off track of it, is that researching, right, like, it's difficult to research these drugs when they're illegal. It just puts more sort of roadblocks in place, and there could be benefits to them, you know, like marijuana. We're finding more and more benefits as we just continue to research it. And one of the main things is that with hemp, I think that was one of the reasons that they kind of tried to push for it to be illegal, at least in the US, right? So the overall point is just keep an eye on why things are being outlawed and
yeah.
question everything.
Yeah, just, well, yeah.
On what you just said there, actually, I think there's something really interesting and specific about the classification system for different drugs in the US, which is that, is it category 1, 2, 3, is it ABC?
Or? Schedule one.
Schedule
Wait,
one.
No, schedule,
yeah.
yeah.
So the schedule one drug, like the definition is drugs that have no medicinal benefit.
Yeah.
And that makes them illegal to study to check if you might have found,
yeah, found a medicinal benefit.
Benefit.
Yeah.
They've just been ruled out blanket. There's no way this could possibly do anything good for anyone ever.
Right. In the 60s, for we couldn't figure
time.
Anything that
so,
could...
to be clear, Schedule 1, and this is from the DEA, Schedule 1 drug substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential of for abuse.
It's a bit softer than what I was saying.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Just to be clear, yeah. There's no currently known accepted medical use, right?
But sorry, but that does mean that research on them is very difficult to do.
Yeah,
it does block research.
But
as
also,
well.
But also, it's brilliant because marijuana it does have an accepted medical use. Mm-hmm.
Like Schedule 1.
No. Yeah, Schedule 1.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Along. So
you've broken your schedules,
it's
mate.
It's the DEA. This is from the DEA website. Some examples of Schedule 1 drugs are heroin, lysergic acid, diethylamide, LSD, marijuana, ecstasy, and a few other things.
That's insane. Like, that is actually just insane.
Yeah, like, marijuana is more illegal than, I say more illegal, but it's a higher, it's Schedule 1, whereas Schedule 2 would be sort of Vicodin, cocaine, methamphetamine.
Cocaine is lower than weed.
Yes. Oxycodone, so that would be OxyContin. Fentanyl, Adderall, Ritalin, those are all Schedule 2.
Schedule 2, the one that kills everybody.
Well, fentanyl kills people because it has much greater effect at lower dosages, and so people take something expecting a lower effect, and then they overdose that way, right?
I was given fentanyl for when I got my eggs removed. I woke up from my
he went to a back alley egg removal and they gave him fentanyl.
Free fentanyl with every visit.
I had my eggs fruit.
Someone have a little basket of sweets at the reception.
Ooh,
fentanyl. Thank you.
I had my eggs frozen for fertility purposes, and I woke up, and one of the things that they used to put me out for 10 minutes was fentanyl.
Whoa.
So I woke up, they gave me a list.
He tried
of
the
what
weaker stuff, and
me.
He really just...
But I was out
what
of
is
it.
Is this an elephant? You just won't go under.
I was out of it, and I got so confused. I was like, why are you giving me fentanyl?
Noah was really, really straight edge, and like...
He took fentanyl.
No, but he did get upset when they were giving him drugs at his surgery stuff. And I remember after you broke your rib, they gave you really strong painkillers, and you were high.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Noah was high for like a week, every single day. And I said to him, I was like, dude, these things have got you high. He's like, no, they haven't. I'm like,
the thing
you
is about
tell.
That, Corey.
So you don't know anything.
He was so loopy.
Do you know what it was? It's because I was sat in the same chair for a week.
I was pretty
and
around
all
wheels.
I could do was just watch TV. And I was like... and because everything hurt. Because I broke my rib, but I also damaged like my leg.
Yeah.
It was all bloody and bruised. And,
and
I was
you bruised
like,
your
I
lung
just,
as well.
I had fluid in my lung. So I was just like, I deserve to be high, I think. Even if I didn't realize I was.
But you hadn't even drunk alcohol at that point.
We filmed the music video for me... For Life's a Bit.
Yeah.
When I was on coding.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Because I had to be, because I was jumping around. Like, it was still really painful. It was like 2 weeks after, not even two weeks after I broke it.
That's the thing. You hadn't drunk alcohol at that point.
No, I had. I'd never been drunk.
Oh, no. So, yeah, you'd never been drunk before.
I'd never been drunk. Yeah.
Like, you were like, you'd never experienced any kind of altered mental state. And I was like, my guy, you're.
I was just real chilling. I was like, my body just feels good that it's healing.
I'm imagining like the big red man in Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared sitting in the sofa with his hair over his face. That's literally. You watching like Noddy or something.
Oh, it was House MD.
You did MD as well.
Hey. No, but I was pushing around on this wheelchair and like he was like loopy as all hell. And people were like looking at me like, well done. And I'm like, this is a weird thing to look at someone who's just hanging out with a disabled person and be like, well done. And two, no, not well done. Like, he broke his rib out of stupidity. I'm like,
in a wheelchair because I broke my rib and I hurt my hip as well. I wasn't just in a wheelchair because of a
rib. You weren't able to walk, but no, it was quite a time. To bring it back to the sort of, you know, drug illegality and use, I guess. I think, the main thing is that, really consider why marijuana is illegal, because from what I've read I just can't understand why, really, other than like people having the idea of like, yeah, well, it gives a poor, it's a poor social sort of thing. Like, it's bad for society. I don't know. I feel like going out in the UK and people are getting half pissed, like totally pissed, and like, you know, throwing up on the street, it's probably not as nice as somewhere like where we are right now, Amsterdam, where people are pretty chill.
Yeah,
like,
also just to point out, Amsterdam has asked British men to stop coming to Amsterdam because they're so drunk and so annoying. And they've done a whole advertising campaign being like, stop coming. British men, stay away from us.
On the plane here, I noticed, and I had a look around and I kind of counted, it was majority men on that plane. Yeah, like, there were very, very few women on that plane, and it felt very uncomfortable because it was such a lads thing. It was broy laddie,
on the BA 650 flight from Heathrow.
655 flight. Well, I think we've covered pretty much everything we can today. There's just time for one more thing. It's a quickfire quiz.
Dun 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 dun. Weed edition.
So the rules for the quickfire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between the both of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
Weed.
Nice.
Fantastic. Okay, cool. And Noah, what is your buzzer?
Oh.
And Luke, what is your buzzer?
Weed.
So, my question for you is not a question. It's more of a request. Name as many different slang terms for marijuana as possible.
Weed. Oh.
Luke, you got there first, but I do want to hear Noah try this.
Okay.
So, don't do well. Go on, Luke.
Weed.
And Noah, can you come in for the steal?
Green. Trees. Grass. Not doobie, but that's like a specific one. Skunk. Ganja.
Got in front of me 17.
Oh, yes.
Mary Jane, ganja, devil's lettuce, skunk, pot, dope, herb, wacky, backy, bud, puff, reefer, cannabis, dank, marijuana, reverend green, magic dragon, hemp, and weed.
Wow.
Wacky, backy, bud, puff.
Well, I think that is all from us, except it's not. I've got three more. It was a list of 20. Three were on the other page. Hashish, Chronic, and Doobie. That is all from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to executive producer Glitch Rabbit. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Leave us a nice wee review. You can support the pod at patreon.com/sideguys. We can find a contact at the Sideguys pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Sideguys. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupboard everywhere.
You can follow me at NoOffence everywhere, apart from Twitter, where it's NoOffenceAdams, and TikTok, where it's TheNoOffence.
Goodbye.
Weed.
Weed.
Good high.
Good high.